It's just gone 8 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Tuesday morning, and Tuesday being our tech news day, inshallah, we're going to take a look at a number of issues related to technology, cell phones, and a number of other tech-related issues that would perhaps be affecting us and that would perhaps be making a difference in our life. And thereafter, at 11:30, we'll be joined on the line by Mawlana Yahya Bam, and we'll be speaking to Mawlana about issues of self-reformation and issues of improving our personal selves and our relationship, most importantly, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is our program for today, inshallah, hoping that you would enjoy it and take great benefit out of it, inshallah al-Aziz. We will be back just after this break. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be in ibadah 24 hours a day, simply by making the right intention for the deed. When becoming angry, one should say,
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. I seek Allah's protection against the devil.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's 12 minutes after 11. And inshallah al-Aziz, in our first aspect of our program, we are going to look at tech issues and scientific issues, many different issues that come up in the research that is taking place and different things that are affecting us. What we are looking at first up, we, inshallah al-Aziz, going to take a look at one thing that happens is a telephone call that is made accidentally. Now, San Francisco's Department of Energy Emergency Management reported an inexplicable 28% increase in call volumes between 2011 and 2014. Now, research teams monitored call handlers and they discovered that nearly a third of all mobile calls were accidental, what you call butt dials. What is this? That most mobile phones allow owners to dial emergency services when the device is locked or even when they have been cut off from the service provider. Now, this has led to an increase in both accidental dialing and malicious calls, which often can't be tracked. This is when your phone is in your pocket and mistakenly you press the button and it makes a call. So, these people are saying that 84 million emergency calls a year pocket dials. It's a huge waste of resources, raises the cost of providing emergency services, depletes morale, and increases the risk that legitimate 911 calls, 911 calls and first responders will be delayed. So that's a huge issue that comes up there just because of technology making it easier for you to be able to call in an emergency from wherever you may be, but also putting this problem forward that you are now making mistaken calls because you don't realize that your phone is dialing out to the emergency service providers. So that's a negative of having the technology available to you there. The best would be to make sure that you are aware of what your phone is doing and you're aware of what you are doing with your phone. And, you know, it happens. It reminds me of the many occasions on your WhatsApp when a person would be wanting to send a private message to his wife and he would accidentally put it onto the group, or a person would be wanting to send a message to another group and he puts it onto your group, and you know, mistakes like that happen. It's quite common occurrence, and sometimes it's cause for laughter and sometimes it's cause it causes problems as well. So you have to be very, very careful. The basic principle out of the whole thing in everything in life is that you have to have control over yourself, and you have to have control over what is being passed on, communicated from yourself. And if you are aware of that, if you're in control of that, then you shouldn't have a problem. But as soon as you lose control, that is where the problem comes in. And this is obviously the forte of spam mail and internet hackers, etc., is they want to take away your control that you have over your devices, etc. But you have to secure your internet connection, secure your computer, etc., so that they are not able to hack into your life. That's the one issue. The other issue is that in the UK, all retailers with more than 250 employees must introduce a 5p charge for plastic bags from today. That is in England. Now, the new policy is an attempt by the government to significantly decrease the number of bags used each year. In 2014, 8.5 billion plastic bags were given out in the UK. Now, this just reminds me, a few weeks back we went for Jamaat to Swaziland. When we went to do some buying at the local Pick n Pay store, and one of the brothers that were with us said to the person at the packing, at the end of the counter, was busy packing, said, no, don't pack for us. We don't want a plastic bag. I brought my own plastic bag. And those people are looking at us strangely. They say, what are you going on about? And then we realized that Swaziland does not have the same law as South Africa, that they give away plastic bags, and the quality of the plastic bags is what our plastic bags used to be prior to the law coming into South Africa. So it's thin type of plastic bags. So it seems that UK were also giving away plastic bags, but now they are going to be charging for the plastic bags. And this policy will apply to all large retailers, supermarkets, clothes shops. Some items exempt, like uncooked fish products, uncooked meat products, chips or food sold in containers, seeds, flowers and bulbs, unwrapped blades, including axes, knives and razor blades, medication, prescription medication, live aquatic creatures, any item bought in an airport, train, plane or ship. Now, they brought this law in. What's the reason for it? And perhaps in South Africa also, we need to go back to what the reason was for it. And do you remember that at that time, the environmental minister, Vali Musa, he drove this law and he brought it into legislation, had it passed by Parliament. And the reason, this is what we need to go back to and perhaps remind ourselves as South Africans as well, that the environmental impact of plastic bags is huge, affecting ecosystems on land and in the ocean. Many bags end up in landfill sites with chemicals seeping into the soils. Enzymes released by nylon-eating bacteria also release harmful amounts of methane as the bags degrade. There's a major contributor to global warming, but the major environmental impact of plastic bags is in the ocean. Around 8 million tons of plastic ends up in our oceans each year, much of which is in bag form. This has a major impact on marine environments. A range of marine life, particularly whales, dolphins, porpoises and turtles, are seriously injured or killed when they ingest or become entangled in plastic. Research puts this figure at 100,000 marine animals a year. And to clear the oceans of this plastic is extremely difficult. Bags and other pollutants often release microparticles that are hard to remove without also harming other forms of marine life. These particles are also ingested by fish and smaller marine species. And so it will take, for the people in the UK, simple changes to the shopping routines to take their own bags with or use more bags for life. It can make a huge difference in reducing the amount of plastic in circulation. And hopefully it will have an effect on the oceans and it will have an effect on the environment. So in South Africa as well, do you remember a stage when fences used to be strewn with plastic bags and there would be a whole line of a fence of plastic bags, you know, all over, and that was obviously problematic. And now there is a bit of a decrease, but not much of a decrease though, that is the big issue that we are facing in South Africa, and that's because we've forgotten the reason why we have adopted this law and why we have to pay for plastic bags in the country. Well, Coming back to our stories, we take a look at a new story. Research has found that that you need to call and speak to older people, family members, etc. Even more important is to go visit their older relatives 3 times a week. And this is an article that says that families should visit their older relatives 3 times a week to help prevent them from becoming depressed. Older people who saw their family or friends, at least that often, were half as likely to develop depression as those who did not, according to the study. But speaking on the phone or being contacted online was not enough to replace seeing them face to face, as these forms of contact did nothing to cut their depression risk. The study is thought to be the first to examine the impact of different types of social contact on the elderly. It also highlights just how important it is to spend time with our older generation, among whom there is said to be an epidemic of loneliness, epidemic levels of loneliness in the UK. This is what it's saying, and it's calling the levels of loneliness epidemic. And, you know, this is in what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken to us about. The scientists from the University of Michigan in the US looked at 11,000 adults aged over 50 and examined how often they were contacted in person, by telephone, and by email or social media. They then looked at the risk of depression 2 years later. Those who were visited 3 times a week had 6.5% chance of developing depression, compared to an 11.5% risk in those who saw friends and family just once every few months. And the study also found that younger participants aged 50 to 69 suffered less depression if they socialized with friends. Those aged over 70 benefited more from contact with family. And this is an important issue. It's an important thing to bring to our attention. The reason why I brought this to your attention today is because the importance of the older people in our community, in our society. Let us give them their due. Let us give them the respect that they deserve. And inshallah al-Aziz, it will be a means of reward for us, very important. And it will be a means of great ease for them and comfort for them, inshallah al-Aziz. Well, it's just gone 23 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Tuesday morning, and we are now joined on the line by our guest, Maulana Yahya Bamsab. Maulana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, how are we?
Very well, alhamdulillah. Allah shukar.
Shukar Allah, shukar Allah. Shukar Allah. Alhamdulillah. I mean, wonderful sunshine. But the beauty of insan is that under every conditions and circumstances, we will complain. It is too cold. Just a few months it was. Now it might be too hot. That is what we're saying. But the rain comes, the wind comes. That is beautiful. That is the way Allah has created human. We are to make the dua that Allah Ta'ala give us rain. Rain that is beneficial.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Malana, this is definitely the ni'mah and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever bounty Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, we have to continue making shukr and continue thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the nature, as Malana mentioned, of man is to always be ungrateful, but we have to show that we are forever grateful for whatever Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with.
Malana, while we're looking at the weather and we're looking at hour to hour or day to day, look at the bigger picture, how Allah Ta'ala has made the rain, the storm, beautiful winds, sometimes harsh and hard, very difficult wind, in the form of the samana and the time, the imtihan that takes place, what type of difficulties, especially this ummah, and the different times and the different difficulties that we have been through. And some might look at the time of the Tatars, or some might look at the time of the Shahadat of Sayyidina Hussein and say, we went through very hard times, but we are going to go through even much more greater heavier, harder times, Maulana, when we come nearer to the time of the Mahdi and the Dajjal and all those types of fitnas, the different types of fitnas, imtihan, the test on the Ummah and the test on the Mu'min to such an extent that it will be easier to carry a red hot coal in your palm to throw it off and then to keep it. Isn't it easier to throw off a red hot coal from your palm? Much more easier it will be to throw off Islam. To keep Islam will be more difficult than the carrying of that red hot coal in your hands. That imtihan is here. What type of imtihan is this Ummah not going through?
Yes, that test of keeping the deen alive and keeping your deen in your life is indeed such a great test that from every direction, from every different way, the Ummah is being tested, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us istiqamat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us protection.
Maulana, with regards to the last Hajj and in the days of Hajj, the type of difficulties we went through, what did we not hear on the news? And did the kuffar not have a field day with regards to this barbaric Hajj, the dropping of a crane and so many people dying, and then a hotel wherein fire started and it started burning and people had to be evacuated, and in the same way the stampede, and how horrific and how barbaric do they not make it sound, that this is what the Muslims do, this is their Hajj, and this is the ugliness that they go into, Maulana.
Yeah, that's the sad part of it, that this is how the entire world has been structured today, that when something happens to the Muslims, then the whole world will gun against the Muslims, that this is what is wrong with you. But there's a very interesting thing that I picked up yesterday, was that there are so many hundreds of thousands, in fact, if I see that, yes, it says here that Saudi Arabia has welcomed over 70 million pilgrims since 1980. Huh. Since then, only 5,000 fatalities occurred during Hajj. That's a ratio of 0.00007%.
Allahu Akbar, but they will highlight this. They will broadcast this. They will focus on this. And this Ummah needs to know, and we need to be prepared. This type of preparation, mental preparations of imtihan, this is not Jannah. Inshallah, that is where you will have every type of pleasure. Here it is imtihan upon imtihan. We in South Africa need to make shukr, and we need to turn to Allah for all the good times. And we make dua that Allah make it remain forever like this. But when halat can change, when the kuffar and the enemies of Allah and His deen can sway matters, and when the imtihan could start again, it is ajib. It can happen, and we need to be prepared. Maulana, throughout the world, at all times, there are greater fatalities that have happened under different circumstances. Sometimes in soccer stadiums, barbarically people got stampeded. When the tsunami hit Japan, one of the most advanced countries, what could they do? Nothing. But if it happens amongst Muslims, then the first try is that it is some type of a terrorist. I mean, now they have made this word terrorist synonymous to Islam and the Muslims. Anything happens. If something happens beyond in the skies, it might be Osama bin Laden or someone of that type that is trying something new. Although he has passed away, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah ta'ala give him maghfirah, but this is the way the mind and the structure is, and that is the way they will continue. A great incident I read in a kitab, Maulana, might sound very simplistic, But for the ordinary mind, it is something that will make a person think and understand if you're going to listen very carefully, Maulana. It is written that there was one great saint is written in his kitab that there was a person riding or walking in the path of the yesteryear, the way journeys were done, and while walking on the journey, going along on the journey, he came past a pond, stopped at the pond, halted at the pond, took out his little food, hot it was in the day, so took out his food, ate whatever he had to eat, drank the water, and then along this path next to the pond, there was a little hill. He went onto the hill in the bushes where he could oversee the pond, and he started resting in the afternoon sun. Just 1 minute there. Hey, Mulana, 1 minute. Please, Benama, if you can listen.
Okay, we are speaking to Hazrat Mulana Yahya Bamsat. Inshallah, Aziz. Yes, Mulana, we can continue the program now.
Sorry, Maaf, Mulana. So, walking along this afternoon sun, and after having drunk the water and eaten his lunch, he went into the little hill that oversaw this pond, and he laid in the pond, under the trees where he could not be seen, but he could see what's happening at the pond. And while laying there, he sees a horseman come past, person well dressed, groomed, with a sword in his armament and everything on the horse. When he comes there, he also waits a little while, gets off his horse, take out whatever he had for to eat, and while he got busy there, and relaxing and eating, and when he finished, he got onto his horse and he rode off. When he rode off, he had forgotten a little bundle that seemed like a bundle of money or gold coins at the side of the pond. Next, what happens? The first person walking comes past, tattered clothes, in a shabby condition. When he eats there, he drinks there, and he sees this bundle of money with the name written on it, he quickly puts it under his arm and he moved away. He saw that this was gold and he moved away. And now comes a third person. When he is walking past, he waits a little while, drink the water. That is the way it was in past times. As you walk along, you stop at an oasis or wherever you can refresh yourself. So this person started drinking water, wanting to take out his food, and while he is busy there, the horseman comes back. Where is my gold that I love here now? This person says, I don't know. Oh no, where is my money? Where is my gold? And when he tries to find out, and there is a negative answer, he becomes very angry, he argues with him, and after the argument, he takes out his sword, the horseman takes out the sword, and he chops off this person's neck.
Mm-hmm.
And he carries on. Now this person that is sitting on the hill watches all this happening. And he stands up looking towards the sky and he says, Oh Allah, justice, Ya Allah, insaf, justice, Ya Allah, I have seen what has happened. The horseman came, he forgot his money. First one came, he took that gold and went. When the second person came, the horseman came back looking for the money, and the encounter started. And he blamed him that you're the only person here, it must be you, and he kills him. But this is not justice.
Mm-hmm.
And then a voice from the unseen he hears, telling him that, oh my Banda, we don't give answers to the people on what happens and how it happens. But in this case, since you a person that is Allah conscious, that is close to Allah, Let us now tell you what has happened here. And the answer comes. The answer comes in this way, that listen, that horseman, he's a zalim. He has taken the wealth of the first walking person that came here. He had stolen the wealth. And Allah made it that He gives back that wealth in this way where we forgot it at the pond. It was the returning of the wealth to that man. Settled. One. And the second person that came there to drink water, he is the murderer of this horseman's father. Allah gave him revenge so that he could kill that person so that in the Akhirah there is nothing for him. This is the way, oh my Banda, we settle things. We know the picture, bigger picture we know. What is happening, why, where? Allah knows what is happening. The stick of Allah might not be heard. America and its evil, Israel and their the dirt and filth. I mean, in Savran Shatila, what type of a murder did not happen? If the Jews were killed by Hitler, people that are observing what is happening in the Gaza, they will say, although whatever who wants to say about Hitler, it means a nation. It might not be all the Jews. Somebody might argue that it's a Zionist. But Netanyahu and his evil, America, because the hiding is not coming to them. It's happening in Syria, it's happening in Iraq, it's happening in Afghanistan. But Allah can change things. Russia was a giant monster. The red curtain, the iron curtain. But Allah made it come. And when it came, they stood in lines, begging for bread. And a country as weak as Afghanistan made the giant bear come to its knees. Allah will make things repeat. Its time will come. And if nothing else, on the day of Qiyamah, when people will see what happens. Well, somebody sent me a message with regards to the stampede and how as the blockade started and body against body, people's ihram came off. Nobody could want to look at another person's private part. They were each one in nafsa nafsi. And this person says that I could feel something happening under my feet. Allah saved me eventually, but I was in the midst of this pressing and pushing and not being able to breathe. And suddenly I felt under my feet. And what was it? It was a person that was down, being trampled on, and to alert the people, she was biting on this person's feet from the bottom. But he says he could do nothing. Later he realized that nafsa, nafsi, that will be the day when justice truly happens. So Maulana, if people say that we're going through hard times, if people say that as an ummah and as a mu'mineen, we are being tested, surely the test is very heavy, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. This imtihan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting on us, it is an imtihan of iman. At every stage in the Muslim ummah, the imtihan, the test is of our iman. It's not a test of our resources. It is not a test of our physical ability. It is not a test of anything, but it is a test of what our response is going to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we are going to, with firm yaqeen, claim and say that we belong to Allah and we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah, Allah. Maulana, the person that narrates that incident of when the stampede was and the woman that was biting from the bottom to alert whoever is on top, trampling over her, that I'm still alive. He says that at that time, you were not even looking at the bottom. Ki meri maa, is it my mother? Ki meri behen, beti hai, is it my daughter? But it was nafsi nafsi. Qiyamah will be more intense than that. The heat when they speak about the nearness of the heat, this at the stampede was 50 degrees. Jab hosh ur gaye, they didn't know what's happening. On Qiyamah Day, the heat will be much more intense. You will not bother who it is. You will not want to know who's bumping against you. It will be nafsi, nafsi. He says, this person got saved. He lives on to tell the story of what it was in that stampede. In the very same way, we will come to that day. We need to look after our iman. We will not be asked who bombarded who or who said what. We will be asked, what was your amal? What was your deed? What was your character? People, when we want to know what is amal and what is good deed, is it namaz? Namaz is fard. Zakat, roza is fard. But character, akhlaq, to be good towards people. Another demonstration of an incident. It is written that there was one person, he saw a cat in water that was being pulled by the water and about to be taken away and going through difficulty in wanting to swim out but couldn't push itself out. So this person that was on the side of this water area, he puts his hand forward in to help that cat. And when he puts his hand there, the cat scratches. He pulls back. He was trying to be kind and good. He put his hand forward to save this cat. The cat scratched him. He pulled back. After a little while, the cat is still trying hard. He puts his hand again. The cat scratches. Again he pulls his hand back. And we will say, and like one person that was sitting on the side, saw this man put his hand in for a third time to save the drowning cat. And the cat scratches him again. And when the fourth time he puts his hand in, he pulls out the cat. But before he pulls out the cat, another person that was sitting nearby shouted that you're doing good, but the cat is scratching you. What's happening with you? When the fourth time he put his hand in, he pulled it out. And then he walked up to the person that was calling out to him, don't be silly. You can't allow the cat carry on scratching you. He went there and he told him, he pat him on the back and he told him, the cat's habit is to scratch. I have the good habit of helping people. Must I let go my good habit, my good habit, because the cat scratches? Allah, but what a lesson, what an answer. If people are unkind to you, if people are non-appreciative, be kind, be good, that will be more weightier in your scale of deeds than many words, Mawlana.
Allah, subhanAllah. This, the nature of a person, and you know this story that Mawlana just mentioned now with regards to, this is, it shows that when we are working and when we are making some effort in the public and when we are making some effort for whatever individual it may be, or even if it's for the community, and the community comes back and they criticize, or the community comes back and they come up with some sort of problem, the response is not that we pull away, but the response is that we continue assisting and helping until such time that they realize and understand, until such time that they would then accept what we are telling them.
تعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. نيكي بلاي أتشاي. In goodness, help people in every part which is for the pleasure of Allah, for the deen of Allah. Move forward. Help in that direction. Mawlana?
Yes, that is the thing. That you help and you assist and you do whatever is in your strength, and even if people then reply with ugliness, even if they reply with criticism, you still continue, because you know at the end of the day what intention you are doing it for and what goal you want to achieve.
Well, this work of Jamaat and Tabligh, which is the work to strengthen and straighten and better our akhlaq and our attitude towards people. Pehle apne aap ko banao, make yourself. That is what will happen. Masjid to masjid, house of Allah to house of Allah. Calling towards goodness. But more important than that calling, while you call it out aloud, is, nafs, myself, change and let me good and be good and kind. And this is the original dawah to the world. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in every action, long before Nubuwwah, it is written that there was one person that came in a hurry and in a very, very difficult type of a search, that where's my child? My son is missing. So somebody told him that your son is there in that park playing. So he started hurrying. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, don't hurry, come here 1 minute. And he told him, oh, you, when you get to that park, don't call out, oh my son, because among them, there might be a little boy who's a yatim, who has no father to say, oh my son too, and he himself cannot call, oh my father, so you're gonna hurt his heart. Ya Allah, Qurban Jai, kindness, and be mindful of all the creation of Allah. To that one person, when he heard this hadith, enemy of Islam, he said, if somebody said that, then he has to be a Nabi of Allah. He read the Kalima Mawlana.
Allahu Akbar. Just because of that one that one statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Because it was so intense, kindness to people, kindness to every creation of Allah. Irhamu man fil ard. Irhamu man fil ard. It is the greatest statement. Irhamukum man fis saba. The one that is the most merciful will be merciful towards you. Allah. This is Deen-e-Islam. A dunya, a world. Carry on and do and say what you want to. We are the followers of Muhammad Rasulullah. If people are saying that this is terrorists, and if people are saying whatever they are saying about us, we are the followers of the greatest of the Anbiya, and the kindness towards all, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. That is the greatest sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
That akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that has that concern and that fikr for humanity, that fikr for mankind, if you just have to practice that and practice the simple ways and honesty and integrity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will reach so far and we will have such a great effect that there will be nothing negative ever mentioned about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the world.
La ilaha illallah. We have not read about Aqaid of Shah Jahan ourselves, and we have not taught it. Mawlana, I just want to end with this. One child, while being asked in school by the teacher, like the other children who asked, what do you want to become? What do you want to become? What do you want to become? One child said, like the others said, we want to become doctor, lawyer, Mawlana, Mufti, whatever. One child said, I want to become a Sahabi. Sahabi? She says, every night my mother reads to me about Sahaba. They are great. They are wonderful. They have great character. Every night one story. These children, we are made in the laps of our mothers. Mothers need to make these children. You will get the beautiful Sahaba-like future in this Ummah, Mawlana.
I mean, that is our greatest desire and our greatest hope and wish. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Mawlana, jazakumullah khairan for the program this morning. Inshallah, we'll speak next week.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Shukran jazeelan to Mawlana Yahya Bamsab. Shukran to my studio operator, Brother Osama, and to you for listening on this Tuesday morning. Inshallah, we'll be back tomorrow. We look at world news tomorrow, inshallah. And Aziz from Junaid Jasad, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.